Topic 2, making the Act and the Code effective for and responsive to the needs of Māori, kaupapa tū, kia whaihua te ture me te tikanga mō te ki ngā hiahia o te iwi Māori. In this section, we set out and ask questions about issues relating to making the Act and the Code effective for and responsive to the needs of Māori and the case for change. And 2, suggestions for the Act and the Code to address those issues. Issues. We're focusing on making the Act and the Code more effective for and responsive to the needs of Māori to improve the experiences and outcomes of Māori in the health and disability system. Our complaints data and initial feedback suggest that Māori are not equitably benefiting from the Act and the Code. Māori engage less with HDC and the advocacy service than we would expect, given what we know about the experiences of and outcomes for Māori in the health and disability sector. We've heard from Māori that promotion of the code is not reaching their communities, and when it does, many perceive that code rights and complaint processes are not designed for them. The reasons given for this vary and include that 1. Universal approaches to promote the code are not resonating with Māori. 2. Experiences of racism and cultural bias in the health and disability system are leading to low levels of trust and confidence in complaint processes. 3. Complaint processes and interpretation of rights often do not reflect te ao Māori values and tikanga. And 4. Provisions to give practical effect to te tiriti, the treaty, are largely absent from the Act and the Code. Making the Act and the Code effective for and responsive to the needs of Māori will support the Crown to honour its obligations under te tiriti, the treaty, and contribute to 1. Greater knowledge and awareness by Māori of their rights under the Code. 2. Greater understanding and protection of code rights from te ao Māori worldviews to the benefit of all people accessing health and disability services. 3. An equitable space for Māori to raise concerns and make complaints. 4. Better complaint processes that uphold the mana of all people. And 5. Better outcomes for Māori using health and disability services. What we're doing already. In addition to recently introducing hui a whānau and hoho te rongo as options within complaint resolution, HDC has established a Director Māori role on our leadership team. Our Director Māori, along with a small team, helps HDC to be more responsive to the needs of Māori, enhances provider capability address health equity for Māori, and works to raise awareness of HDC in Māori communities. Question 2.1. Did we cover the main issues about making the Act and the Code more effective for and responsive to the needs of Māori? Legislative suggestions for change. We want to hear your thoughts on our suggestions for changing the Act and the Code to be effective for and responsive to the needs of Māori. A. Incorporate tikanga into the Code. The Te Reo Māori translation of the Code was developed and consulted on alongside the original draft and identifies matters of tikanga in relation to consumer rights, including mana, right one, respect, manaakitanga, right two, fair treatment, and tū rangatira motuhake, right three, dignity and independence. However, while the use of tikanga in the Te Reo Māori translation helps people to understand and apply the English language code, they are subject to interpretation and the cultural competences of providers, HDC decision makers and tribunals. Introducing tikanga into the code would 1. Enable Māori to see rights expressed in a way that is meaningful to Māori. 2. Support providers to substantively understand and uphold Māori rights from a te ao Māori perspective. 3. Strengthen relationships with and outcomes for Māori consumers. And 4. Enable all New Zealanders to benefit from a te ao Māori understanding of rights. Legislative protections, education and guidance would need to be put in place to ensure true interpretations of mata pono, principles, values and tikanga, and support provider understanding. This could include 1. Mata pono, principles, values and tikanga, and support provider understanding. This could include 1. Workforce training, 2. Building the cultural competence of HDC, the advocacy service and providers, And 3, legislating for Māori leadership in the Act and developing guidance to interpretation / good practice. HDC could also explore relationships with iwi and Māori organisations to share oversight of interpretation from a national perspective or by partnering with local hapū and iwi to apply mā tauranga Māori a hapū, a iwi, knowledge and custom particular to a hapū or iwi. Legislative protections are explored further in Suggestion B. We have sought guidance from rangatira and Māori leaders in the health and disability sector on the relationship of tikanga to code rights. We heard that the application of tikanga to code rights would give whānau a voice. Every service provider would need to understand the code from a Māori perspective and give quality service for whānau, workshop participant. In relation to the tikanga we should consider for the code, we heard that the Te Reo Māori translation of the code is a good source and that there are many intersecting mātāpono to consider. Tikanga most commonly identified as being particularly relevant to the code and complaints resolution processes are set out below, alongside a description of that concept or value in Te Reo Māori. Where appropriate and an English translation, we are mindful that mātāpono and tikanga are interconnected and that no aspect of tikanga can be properly understood in isolation from tikanga as a whole. Singling out specific principles and briefly summarising them cannot fully convey their significance or relevance. Note 6, Review of Adult Decision-Making Capacity Law, Preliminary Issues Paper, NZLC 1P49. 1. Aroha. Ko te pū, te kē me te hā, encompasses the concept of unconditional love, compassion, sympathy and empathy. 2. Hara. He kupu mō nā he o tētahi tangata, / ētahi tangata, the wrongdoings of a person or persons. 3. Iwi, wehi and wānā. Te putanga ki waho o nā kare a roto o te tangata. The connection between te taha tinana, physical being, and the te taha wairua, spiritual realm. The tangible and the intangible, the potential and the realization of potential. Ihi does not exist in isolation and is the felt effect that begets wehi, that begets wana. A. Ihi, energy within that is ignited by what is seen, heard and felt. B. Wehi. The emotional reaction that acknowledges ihi. C. Wana, the collection of energy that unites and connects people to the environment and people to kaupapa purpose. 4. Mana, ke ia tangata tōna ake mana, a spiritual force or power that resides in all peoples, in objects or the environment that includes respect and autonomy. 5. Manakitanga, he kupu mahi he waka. He whakatinana, he manaki tangata, manaki kaupapa, the action of caring and supporting someone or something. 6. Māori, he mana motuhaki no law, the life force, vital essence, essential quality and vitality of a being or entity, also applies to a physical object, individual, ecosystem or social group in which this life force / essence is located. 7. Noa. Ka ore ona tapu, the realm clear of sacredness, prohibitions or restrictions. 8. Tapu, he tapu na mea katoa. All things within te ao Māori have tapu. Tapu represents sacredness, reverence and prohibition. It encompasses spiritual and cultural boundaries that dictate appropriate behaviour and respect for both natural and supernatural elements. 9. Wairua. Spiritual essence connecting individuals to the divine, ancestors and the natural world. 10. Whānau. He heringa tangata, heringa whakapapa. Family inclusive of parents, carers, guardians, grandparents, aunts, uncles, siblings, cousins, etc. and can also include close familial type relationships between people. Whakanoa. He mahi he hiki I te tapu. The process of creating safe spaces. 12. Whakawhanongatanga. He tikanga tuitui I te tangata I te ana whanonga. A process of bringing people together by way of engagement, establishing relationships and relating well to others. Whanongatanga denotes relationships, Relationships in Te Ao Māori are everything, between people and the physical world, and between people and the atua, spiritual entities. Whanaungatanga creates a sense of unity. It embodies the understanding that individuals are part of a collective who work together to make decisions and act in ways that support the betterment of the whānau. We've heard so far that if we were to incorporate only one element of tikanga, then mana encapsulates the essence of other elements and would have the strongest impact. We therefore propose, as a starting point for feedback, to add to right one of the code, respect, that every consumer has the right to have their mana upheld. We want to hear from you whether tikanga should be incorporated into the code, and if so, how? B. Give practical effect to Te Tiriti or Waitangi, the Treaty of Waitangi in the Act. When Te Tiriti, the treaty, is honoured, it paves the way for Māori to thrive. Currently, the Act gives little practical effect to Te Tiriti, the treaty. There's no reference to Te Tiriti, the treaty, in the Act, and the only consideration of Māori is in relation to the HDC's qualifications for appointment. The minister must have regard to a person's knowledge and recognition of the aims and aspirations of Māori when considering whether a person is qualified for appointment to the role of HDC, Section 10F. The absence of provisions giving practical effect to Te Tiriti, the treaty, in the Act, means that HDC's responsiveness to the needs of Māori relies on discretion of the commissioner of the time. It also means that there are no legislated safeguards to make sure that the application and interpretation of Te Ao Māori values and tikanga occurs in a culturally safe way. Guidance prepared by Te Arawhiti, Office for Crown Māori Relations, states that there is no one-size-fits-all wording for provisions that uphold the Crown's obligations under Te Tiriti, the treaty. It identifies two general approaches for legislation. Note 7. Te Arawhiti, Office for Crown Māori Relations, providing for the Treaty of Waitangi in Legislation and Supporting Policy Design, Wellington, Te Arawhiti, Office for Crown Māori Relations, 2012. 1. Operative/general Tiriti treaty clauses. These clauses require decision makers under the Act to place a particular statutory weighting on or act in accordance with Tiriti treaty principles. The responsibility for interpreting these clauses sits with statutory decision makers and ultimately the courts. This may be appropriate where discretion is delegated to decision makers, for example the Urban Development Act 2020. In achieving the purpose of this Act, all persons performing functions or exercising powers under it must take into account the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi, Te Tiriti or Waitangi. 2. Descriptive/specific Tiriti treaty clauses. These clauses expressly reference the Crown's Tiriti treaty responsibilities in a generalised way and describe how these are given effect to in the Act. The descriptive approach provides greater certainty for decision makers than the operative clause, but it can be less flexible in application. The effectiveness of descriptive clauses depends on their ability to address Tiriti treaty interests. Suggestions for descriptive specific Tiriti treaty provisions in the Act ordered by the Articles of Te Tiriti, the treaty, are set out below. Note 8. We used critical Tiriti analysis to help identify suggestions. O'Sullivan D. Came H. A New Way of Thinking. Critical Tiriti Analysis. Public Sector 2022, 45 in brackets 3, pages 14 to 15. See also the Community Research Critical Tiriti Analysis Collection at https://tinyurl.com/critical-tiriti-analysis. Returning to the text. 3. Preamble. Suggestions to ensure that Te Tiriti the treaty is central and Māori are equal parties in policy development. A. Add a Tiriti treaty clause, new section. This option has been recommended by previous commissioners. B. Amend the long title of the Act, for example, to provide for the recognition of the Crown's obligations under Te Tiriti the treaty, or incorporate outcomes for Māori and all people in Aotearoa New Zealand in alignment with the Pai Order Act title. And C. Amend the purpose of the Act to incorporate principles important to Māori / specific reference to tikanga, Section 6 purpose. 4. Article 1. Kāwanatanga. Suggestions to provide mechanisms to ensure equitable Māori engagement and / or leadership in the operation of the Act and the Code. A. Strengthen the qualifications for appointment of commissioner and deputy commissioners in relation to Māori, section 10, in brackets 1, in brackets F, qualifications for appointment or additional subsection. For example, the Pai Order Act requires the board to collectively have knowledge of and experience and expertise in relation to Te Tiriti o Waitangi, the Treaty of Waitangi, Tikanga Māori, Mātauranga Māori, Kaupapa Māori services and cultural safety and responsiveness of services. B. Require the appointment of a Deputy Health and Disability Commissioner Māori, new subsection in Section 9 Deputy Commissioners. Note that until the establishment of the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, there was the Deputy Commissioner role of Mental Health Commissioner. C. Require the Commissioner to establish and maintain effective links with iwi. Section 14, in brackets 2, function of commissioner. D. Add engagement with Māori, hapū and iwi organisations in relation to section 20, consultation on preparation and review of code. And E. Require engagement of Māori, hapū and iwi in relation to the amendment or revocation of advocacy guidelines, section 28, guidelines for operation of advocacy service. 5. Article 2, Tino Rangatiratanga, suggestions to provide for Māori values and worldviews overseen by Māori. A. Expressly include promotion and protection of tikanga in the functions of the Commissioner in relation to the respect for and observance of the rights of health and disability services consumers. Section 14.1, functions of Commissioner. B. Require the appointment of a Deputy Health and Disability Commissioner, Māori, new subsection in Section 9, Deputy Commissioners, to oversee and ensure appropriate knowledge and protocols to access and respond to cultural components of complaints. C. Amend Section 61, Mediation Conference, to explicitly refer to hoho te rongo / hui a whānau or processes in alignment with tikanga. D. Recognise and provide for tikanga in Section 20 content of the Code. This suggestion also aligns with the Ritenga Māori Declaration. Note 3. The Ritenga Māori Declaration, often referred to as the fourth article, was drafted in Te Reo Māori and read out during discussions with rangatira Māori leaders concerning Te Tiriti, the treaty. The declaration provides for the protection of religious freedom and the protection of traditional spirituality and knowledge. Te Puni Kōkiri, a guide to the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi as expressed by the courts and the Waitangi Tribunal, Wellington, Te Puni Kōkiri, 2001, pages 40-41, returning to the text. By appropriately recognising wairua, spirituality and tikanga. 6. Article 3, Ori Te Tanga, suggestions to provide for Māori to enjoy the promotion and protection of consumer rights as Māori on an equal basis as non-Māori. A. Functions of the Director of Advocacy to include promotion of equitable outcomes for Māori and all consumers. Section 25, Functions of Director of Advocacy. B. Addition of Section 25, Functions of Director of Advocacy to include promotion of advocacy services to Māori and other communities to ensure equitable access. C. Amend Section 30, Functions of Advocates to explicitly respond to the needs of Māori and promote and provide for processes led by the tikanga of the whānau where appropriate. And D. Review and amend the legislative process for assessing complaints to enable and better align processes with tikanga. Part 4, Complaints and Investigations, Sections 31-49, and specifically Sections 33, Preliminary Assessment, 38, Taking No Action, and 40, Investigation. Questions. 2.2. What do you think of our suggestions for making the Act and the Code more effective for and responsive to the needs of Māori, and what impacts could they have? 2.3. What other changes, both legislative and non-legislative, should we consider for making the Act and the Code more effective for and responsive to the needs of Māori?